Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Oh, I'm so glad you joined me today. Welcome to Call to Freedom. What a joy it is to know that we have freedom in our Lord Jesus Christ. And when I realize that I'm talking to people that love God, that love the Lord Jesus, it just thrills me. It really does. God knows your needs. He does. He knows every one of your needs. He's a big God and invites you to exchange your problems for his peace. Now, just today I was listening to the panel questioning Fauci, and I was, as I was saying after it was all over with, like this panel said, I don't even want to think about those years. And I'm the same way. I don't want to think about those years. And you exchange your problems. If you've got problems today, just exchange them. Just exchange them for his peace that passes all understanding. Your sorrows for his joy. Exchange your sorrows for his joy. That's what I've done several times in my life. And exchange your hurts for his hope. Forgive and hope in him, and you will find all that you need in all that he is. And that's why we say you are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. It's in him, folks. It's all in him. Oh, and thank you for joining me, Kimberly. I'm excited about what you're going to be talking about today, and I'm glad that we have a contribution from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, you started out talking about how you were watching Fauci and you were watching what's going on there, conflict, and someone saying, I don't even want to think about that. But the questions, when we go to court in this life, in this world, we have questions and there's answers, right? We want the answers. That's why we go to court and we want a judge to help with answers.
Yes.
And help mediate. And I just went through, you were talking about Fauci. I was just thinking about this weekend, how I just sat through a meeting at our church where people rose up and were yelling at our pastor.
Oh, I can't imagine, Kimberly. When you said that, I'm going, that church, that precious church, they were yelling.
Oh, it's such a beautiful church,
I know,
right?
They were yelling?
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't
even
conceive of it.
So there's conflict, right? And every one of us experiences conflict in this world, in this life.
Yes.
And when one side rises up and says, my way is right, and the other side rises up and says, no, my way is right. It's just polarized and there's no right in it. That is not the right that our God talks about. When he talks about his righteousness and the way that he sees things as being right, it's very different than our perspective of what's right.
That's right.
And even as Christians, we might look at the Word of God and stand on a scripture and say, this proves my point. See, every one of us can do that. We can all use the Word, stand on the Word of God, and say, I'm right because I'm standing on the Word of God.
That's right. It's like the little verse of scripture that I said right at the beginning of the program. God knows your needs and invites us to exchange our problems for his peace. You could also say exchange your rights for his truth, because that's the bottom line. Exchange our rights for his truth.
And there it is. There it is.
Yeah. Bottom line.
Yes. And I love this scripture that came up. He gave me the scripture from Isaiah 29 and verse 24. It says, and those who err in their mind, who are thinking wrongly, those who err in mind will know the truth.
Oh,
just like you said, the truth. and those who criticize will accept instruction. Mm. It's really a beautiful verse because when we realize that what we thought was right, even if we're standing on scripture, thinking that our perspective is right,
yeah,
is actually wrong because our attitude is wrong.
Oh, that's good. Yes, our attitude. It has everything mm-hmm. to do with our attitude.
Yes. And Jesus is the one who told us that he is the way, he is the truth.
Yes.
And he is the life. And so if we're searching for truth, we're trying to prove it through reason or rationalization, if we're trying to prove it even through scriptures in the Bible, we're missing the point. Jesus is the truth. Okay, what does that mean? That means we look to him and his example in this world. We look to his ways and not our own. And what did Jesus do? He allowed people to blame him and yell at him, just like I saw people yelling at our pastor.
Wow.
And you know, our pastor handled it so graciously. He was really humble. And he stayed quiet. And that was actually even harder to watch.
Yeah.
You know,
because
it's almost easier. Yeah, yeah. It's almost easier to watch somebody who's going to yell back.
Well, couldn't you imagine the disciples when they were watching Jesus being spit upon and hit and being condemned by words that were lies? They probably, especially Peter, would say, well, why don't you go after him? Defend yourself. That kind of thing. A lot of them were probably saying that. Jesus, defend yourself. And he was like a lamb led to slaughter.
Mm. Yeah, they knew he was God. And here is the God in the flesh remaining silent.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. And not just remaining silent, but actually being led off to the cross to be crucified.
Yeah.
Here's God himself, not even defending himself, not defending himself. That's going to be the answer.
Well,
he
knew that he came as a baby. He was born to die. He knew his calling. He knew his assignment, Kimberly.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if we all just need to grab a hold of that and say, we were born in this realm and we will die in
That's
this
right.
realm.
Die with
and
Christ.
Just,
yes.
Yeah. To live is Christ,
to die
is gain.
Yeah.
Amen.
Oh.
That's good.
I don't think this program would be very popular if we continue talking about this. People want to be blessed. They want to hear the good news. They want to hear all about the wonderful things that are happening. And when you say, you got to die, oh.
Well, this is good news because we're finding another way.
Yeah.
Instead of remaining polarized and in conflict for another few millennia, we can come to a place where we say, you know what? There's a higher truth than all of this.
There is.
We don't have to keep arguing. We can actually see a different example and come to a higher truth. And God's example for us, you know what? I'm just going to flip to Isaiah 29 here because this was so precious to me. Before the scripture that I read in verse 24 about those who err in mind will know the truth and those who criticize will accept instruction. Mm-hmm. Before that, the Lord is watching his people. And in verse 13, it says, because this people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote.
Yep.
Therefore, listen to what he says. Therefore, behold, I will once again deal marvelously with this people, wondrously marvelous, and the wisdom of their wise men shall perish. And the discernment of their discerning men shall be concealed. Do you see? He's looking at all of our answers and the way that we try to dig up truth, which is really more facts in this life.
Yes.
And he says, that's going to perish and that's going to be hidden away. And you all are going to see me in my goodness and how I deal with you wonderfully, marvelously. Mm. And Then we get to verse 24. It goes on. I'm not going to read the entire chapter, but we get to verse 24. And if we think of God as being compassionate and merciful, quiet when others are accusing him, and then he just simply says in Isaiah 29:24, those who err in mind will know the truth, and those who criticize will accept instruction. I really like the Message version of this. It says, those who got off track will get back on track.
Yes.
And complainers and whiners, they will learn gratitude.
That's great. It's like I go back to verse 19 of Isaiah 29. Oh, he was so anointed, Kimberly, to write all this for us. He says, the afflicted shall increase their gladness in the Lord, and the needy of mankind shall rejoice. How? Where? Who? To whom? In the Holy One of Israel. It reminds me of our verse for this week from Psalm 100, and I love the passion. It says, lift up a great shout of joy. To whom? To Yahweh. Not our government, not the president, not world leaders. No, a great shout of joy to Yahweh. Go ahead and do it. Everyone, everywhere, worship Yahweh with gladness. Sing your way into his presence with joy. What a wonderful way to look at a day. Instead of the negatives and thinking, oh, this day is not going to turn out well, to absolutely enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. For he is our creator and we belong to him. We are the people of his pleasure. And verse 4 of 100 in the Passion says, you can pass through his open gates with the password. And what is the password? Praise. You exchange that somber depression and hopelessness with praise. Kimberly, praise will always lift a person all the time.
Yes.
And that's
good.
That's why you have praise in your worship group. You have praise songs because you want to lift the congregation up with praise. I'm sorry about what happened in the last couple weeks here, but God is going to get you back. Oh, talk about back on track. He's going to get the whole congregation back on track. And I feel so for those people that left, but Kimberly, God's going to deal with them too in his love and mercy.
Well, the beauty of it is that our worship had never been more anointed and so beautifully harmonious. For the past 3 weeks now, we have enjoyed the best worship we've ever had at our church.
With the opposition. With the opposition.
Yes. Ah, as far as the praise, yeah, yes. And the music, yeah. But here we found out during the meeting where there was some yelling going on, we found out that there were people on the board that were feeling very fearful about preaching the gifts of the Holy Spirit and mm-hmm. allowing the Holy Spirit to move in our church. And because they were feeling fearful and maybe insecure, that's what caused mm-hmm. that uprising. They wanted to try and control that because they are very unsure about it. And you know, here's the thing. We have other people in our congregation who do not walk in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I hesitate to say that because there's so many gifts that our mm-hmm. God gives mm-hmm. us.
But
and so we don't have to just limit it to prophesying and praying in tongues and mm-hmm. interpretation of
yes.
tongues. We don't have to limit, right? Those are the giftings that started coming out, and gifts of healing started coming into our church through our worship. And it was making some people feel very anxious.
Mm-hmm.
So there are others, though, who don't walk in those particular gifts. But they say, even though we don't walk in them, we love them and we're open to this.
Yes.
So I'm not sure why others would not be open to it.
Because they feel like they are missing out. And even today, if you see people on social media, they are on the phone continually going into Instagram and Facebook and all of these. They don't want to miss out on anything, Kimberly. They just want to get involved with everything. And so these people are fearful that they're going to miss out because they don't agree or they don't believe in that stuff. I shouldn't say stuff. It's not stuff. Yeah, it's wonderful gifts of God.
Yeah. I'm sure that's part of it. And there's probably more because people are complicated.
It's complicated.
And what I love is that the way God approaches it is he just knows his plan. And he knows his plan is not going to die on our hill that we've created, this mountain that we've created. His plan's not going to die on that. His plan is absolutely going to work. And he says those who got off track will get back on track. Mm-hmm. And he says it with so much kindness and gentleness that the complainers, those who are yelling, they will learn gratitude. Mm-hmm. And why gratitude? Because God deals with us in kindness. Yes. It's his kindness that leads us to repentance, Amen. Says Romans 2.
Oh, yes.
So when we see that God is kind, that he is compassionate, that he is full of mercy, loving kindness that is everlasting, he works wonderfully and marvelously, just like we read in Isaiah 29:14. And when we see that, we're filled with gratitude.
Yes.
Oh, we're just so thankful that he would deal with us that way. It's the human mind that loves to reason and try to figure things out. We want to make sense of things. And so we rationalize. And when we're rationalizing gifts of healing, gifts of speaking in tongues, gifts of prophecy, those don't make much sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so our senses get really confused. And if we can't rationalize what's going on, we might try to convince others that it's not safe. We might try to convince, and I'm saying we, because we're all human beings. We're all in this together. Mm-hmm. And I've had my areas where I have felt unsafe and I've tried to convince other people that's not safe. Don't go there. But that's all reasoning. Reasoning and rationalizing are wonderful gifts, but they can also be a trap.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm speaking from experience because I've let my own reason and rationalization just trap me into this place. We use our intellect and our reason. As we use it, we may convince ourselves that we're right. That's the trap.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a gift. And if you're thinking, oh, I've been digging for information and I have found the answer, I know I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it's a trap. That's where we get off, because there's no one right but God himself.
Amen.
And the only way to be right is to humble ourselves.
That's right. Well, God says... Yeah, God says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks he is wise in this age, let him become foolish, that he may become wise. It's that foolishness, that's childlike faith, Kimberly, that gets us that wonderful gift of salvation. And then the next verse says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God.
Yes.
The wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. He doesn't it doesn't even register to him.
Wow. That's good. That's a good verse. That is a great way to hook into this idea of humbling ourselves before him. We think that we need to do so much as human beings. We need to learn so much and memorize so much. And the real answer, the real truth is found also in Isaiah. Isaiah 30, verse 15.
Okay.
For thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest you shall be saved.
Mm.
In quietness and trust is your strength. I like the Hebrew, the Tanakh version of this. It says, you shall triumph by stillness and quiet. Your victory shall come about through calm and confidence. And the confidence is not in what we have learned and what we are able to bring to the table. The confidence is knowing God. It's waiting on the Lord and knowing that He will come through. We can rest in that. He's the one who said that those who got off track will get back on track. And complainers and whiners will learn gratitude. That's His design. He knows that they're getting off track in the first place just so they can long to get back on track and start crying out to Him and let Him rescue them. So as I was thinking about reasoning and rationalizing and what wonderful gifts those are, I was realizing that there are resistors in this world and receivers in this world. And I was looking up the idea of resistors and receivers. I came across some definitions that are very scientific, and I don't want to get too lost in the weeds here.
Weeds. No, it's really good. It's things that people, the listeners, our listeners, our precious listeners, can conceive of and relate to. And I think this is really a great example, Kimberly. Yeah.
Well, thank you. So a definition of a resistor, in electrical terms, it regulates the voltage of an electrical current. Something like a straw. When you are sipping on a straw, there's this whole glass or this whole container full of a liquid, and you sip on a straw. And that straw, instead of bringing up the entire container and smacking you in the face with it, that straw regulates how much comes to you.
That's
right?
Great. Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So a resistor regulates. In electronic circuits, resistors are used to reduce the current flow, which is needed. Mm-hmm. You know, at times that's needed to adjust signal levels, to divide voltages, to bias active elements, and terminate transmission lines.
Wow.
I was reading all of that definition and I was like, oh, okay, that's a lot of kind of some long words and it's a lot to grasp. And so I just took the verbs. So if you're like me and you don't understand a word I just said, let's just focus on the verbs right now. Resistors will regulate, reduce, adjust, divide, limit, bias, and terminate.
Wow.
In other words, resistors control. They're controlling. I started thinking about that and I was like, wow, that describes humans. Humans really like to be in control.
They do.
Humans are very natural resistors, and they attempt to control others and other situations through their reasoning and their rationalization, through their opinions. Resistors have opinions. They believe others need to adopt their opinions, right?
Adapt to how they believe. Yes. Yes, siree.
Yeah. Yep. And resistors regulate information and try to adjust others' thinking. And often that approach will divide people. It'll be biased. And it'll even terminate really wonderful relationships because there's so much resistance going on. As long as we are as we put our focus on rationalizing, reasoning, and discerning instead of loving, that tendency then will become strong in us. And as humans, our strong opinions are used mainly to try to regulate others' thinking and get them on board with our opinion.
That's right.
All the while, we're thinking that we're on the right course, and all the while we're full of pride when we do that, and we're not really thinking of God's way and the way of Jesus Christ, who says that He is the truth. So just going through this church meeting that we had, and the way that people were rising up and causing disunity and disharmony, it helped me to realize that our God is a God of unity. Our God longs for reconciliation, and He has entrusted to us the ministry of reconciliation.
That's right. Yes. You said that there were many tears during this time. There are precious sheep in a flock that just can't believe that people can be so mean or so loud and boisterous and demanding. And I'm really grateful you were mentioning that that you were at the piano during this whole time that was going on, Kimberly. And I was so happy to hear that, because I'm sure you were playing the piano, and I'm sure that your words were partly to bring some peace.
The rest.
The repentance and rest.
Yes. And quietness and trust. And I'm so thankful that the Lord positioned me there. Mm. And we could probably wrap up today's show just with the testimony of being at the piano and hearing the uprising. And some of those people were my dear friends that I have had for decades now. And hearing it come from them was so shocking. But I rose up from the piano because I was acting in obedience. The Lord asked me to get up and say, remind everybody what we're here for. And I just said, you know, we need to remember that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, that this is a spiritual battle. And we all need to embrace some peace and calm here. And it was just perfect timing. I sat back down at the piano and had the opportunity to just play some very calming music. And everyone took that moment to write out questions on pieces of paper while I just played and just sang. And nobody knew it was singing in the spirit, because I wasn't singing in tongues necessarily, but it was truly a spiritual song that just came from heaven to my fingers. And I was just oohing and aahing notes that were coming from heaven, and it was so calming and peaceful. And that is what our Lord uses, is peace and calm to get us back on track.
That's right. Amen. Oh, thank you so much. We're going to continue in part this teaching. So remember, tomorrow we're going to be on the air at 9:30 at night, 2:30 in the morning, 5:30 in the morning, and on KLDC at 11 o'clock in the morning. So join us tomorrow. Kimberly has some wonderful things to say about resistors and getting back on track. God bless you and keep you, and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may email us at BarbaraCarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.